Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. News the networks refuse to use continues on your favorite talk station. This is the broadcast for June 8th in the year of our Lord, 2015. It's hour 2 at 2. And the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. In the traditions of our founders, it's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. The checks and balances inspired by the Almighty put in place by the founders, the answer to our problems. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth is in order. Welcome to the broadcast. Kirk Cosby's with me, and a warm welcome to you, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. The theme we talk about often on this broadcast is he who owns the media makes the rules, and we encourage folks to support us in the media, libertyroundtable.com. Click on Help Us Grow if you want to be part of the solution. Or if you see fit, get into the media yourself, although it's a little hard to do, unless you have technical skills and such like that, Kurt. But a lot of people are doing it, and we're helping more and more folks do it, so that's the good news piece, at least. But anyway, the reason that I tell you all this, Kurt, is even the mainstream press is forced to deal with the new media taking center stage idea. So much so that I got a couple of stories that are pretty fascinating. Headline says this: radio warms to podcast phenomenon. Now, Kurt, you remember how back in the day, three, 4 years ago, I was telling you how awesome podcasts were. We've been podcasting for a decade or more. And I told you how awesome podcasts are because it's basically like TiVo radio. You can listen anywhere, anytime. You can start the broadcast whenever you want to. You can play the file directly, or you can have a special podcast client push the content to you. It's just tremendous. And podcasting is here to stay. And the radio industry were like, podcast, that's nothing but like, you know, warmed leftover broadcasting. And they were pretty down on it, Kurt. But now they're having to come, to the table and say Sam Bushman and other forward-thinking leaders in this space are correct indeed. And the headline, radio warms to podcast phenomenon. The people love it, Kurt, and so radio has to come along. Broadcasters are increasingly bullish on the idea of on-demand, time-shifted content that maximizes existing resources and promotes specific demographics. Believe it or not, that's a big article in a radio magazine, Kurt. Now, that's pretty significant, right? That's pretty significant indeed.
That's a great point, Sam. You've got a great point. And like you said, I remember when we got in the media, I said, hey, man, we got to get on radio stations or whatever, and you reminded me, hey, you know, the internet's going to be the going thing, and you were right.
And if we can get on more radio stations, I support it. I mean, I'm grateful for the radio stations that have unique programming like what we put together and others, but I'm telling you, it's expensive to do oftentimes. Well, the next headline even hits it, further out of the park, Kurt, or second home run for podcasting, if you will. Second story says this: NPR, that's National Public Radio, relies on podcasting for growth. So now radio is bullish on time-shifted programming via podcasting, Kurt. And now National Public Radio is looking to podcasting for growth. That's where the growth is happening for NPR, Kurt. Now, they say public radio broadcasters find themselves buffeted by the same kind of things that traditional radio has been dealing with. That is a change in the media consumption habits of listeners. Now, I find that fascinating, Kurt. Think about that for a minute. Public radio broadcasters find themselves in the same dilemma that commercial broadcasters are having. That is a change. A change in the listening habits or the media consumption habits of listeners, Kurt. So who's driving this change, Kurt? You think radio's just loving this and that they're all aboard and they're going along? No, they're getting drug along, Kurt. They have to go along. Because you, me, the public, the listener, well, they've had a change in their media consumption habits, Kurt. They love this stuff. The recent Pew Research Center's even in the discussion, Kurt.
Yeah, it's a great point, Sam, and what you're seeing it in video, just like you see it in audio. There are a number of, new players, if you will, new, it all depends on your definition of that. But, you know, they're pushing even the old boys into saying, hey, man, we've got to be more, conscious of what our real consumers want.
Yes.
And this competition is pushing this, and it's just cool to be part of it, I think.
I think it is. Now, the recent Pew Research Center's State of the News Media 2015 study, Kurt. Did you know they had a State of the News Media study?
Oh, another waste of money, I suppose, in my opinion.
It's private
anyway.
Sector, at least.
Thank goodness for that.
Now, they say on a monthly average, Kurt, downloads for podcasts from National Public Radio have gone up 41%. Think about that. As a result, the revenue generated from these podcasts, Kurt, doubled from 2013 to 2015, according to National Public Radio. And 5 months into 2015, it already has surpassed that of 2014. In other words, to pardon the Southern phrase, it's fixing to double again. NPR's total revenue rose in part because of podcasting. There you have it. What do you think of that, Kurt?
Well, so they're saying that NPR is making more money now because they're, embracing the whole podcasting world. Now, isn't NPR funded by your tax dollars, Sam?
Unfortunately, yes, sir. I don't have a choice in that.
So then if they're bringing in additional revenues, hey, now's the perfect time to just say, hey, sorry about the mistakes of the past, but you guys are certainly able to survive. So, no more government handouts coming your way. I mean, wouldn't it be refreshing?
Yeah,
we need to
stop the stipend campaign, huh, Kurt?
Good point. You think that's going to happen?
Not a chance, buddy. However, if we had enough new media taking center stage, we could force that narrative discussion, Kurt.
Yeah, great point.
That's why the media is so important, ladies and gentlemen. And I know you think that just because I'm in the media. And, I've had people who we've talked to and we're like, hey, invest in this radio station or invest in our radio network. And at first they're like all ready to go. And then they're like, wait a minute, you're just getting rich on this, aren't you? I don't want to fund you getting rich. Well, what kind of risk are you going to put in, Sam? You're not really putting in any risk. And I just have to laugh and say, oh, I sold my family home and bought a radio station without any knowledge of how to run one. Then we learned how to run it, and then, man, we sold that thing and went into nationally syndicated radio. And now there's an FBI file on Sam Bushman and the Pentagon and the, Homeland Security monitor everything I say daily. And, I run this radio network with my own funding. And, man, I'm not really willing to put anything at risk, I just kind of chicken. I want other people to take the heat for me. Okay, anybody who knows me, the idea is preposterous. Absolutely insanity, but that's what people want. But a change in the media consumption habits of listeners, driving the change, baby. Yeah, I dig it. I guess there's an 11-year-old, Kurt. I guess Tanish Abraham. There's a Q on the end of that. Anyway, I guess graduates from California College, Kurt, an 11-year-old graduate. Did you see that?
Yeah, now this at least is
Don DeCappen,
great story about how, a very young individual, graduated way early, at least way early compared to what most folks do. And this young man basically, his parents supported him, etc. And he's going on to greater things. You know, it's just interesting to me to see what can be done when you know, parents and children work together. And you know, we don't have to have people going for like 20 years to try to get a degree.
How are you going
to
keep up the government school economy, Kurt, if you don't have everybody going to school forever?
Well, that's a great point, Sam. Yeah, I forgot about that.
What an awesome solution, though, huh? All right, quick pause. Maybe everybody's not as brilliant as this guy, though, you know? All right, Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So this 11-year-old dons a cap and gown and graduates from college. And you say, Sam, everybody can't do that. What are you guys talking about? And you may be right, Kurt. I don't deny that. This guy might be a genius child or whatever. But a lot of people are intimidated by this kid, but others are saying, no way, it's awesome to have a kid with us. And All I can tell you is this. Everybody may not be a brainiac like this child or whatever, Kurt, but I'm telling you right now, if you have children stay at home for kindergarten, if you have kids graduate from grade school in, say, 5 years instead of six, and then if you basically merge middle school into high school, and instead of 2 years in middle school, seventh and eighth grade, and then 4 years in high school, 4 years in high school, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. You could certainly drop a year out of that too, Kurt. And if you did that, you know, you're basically dropping 3 years out of an education that takes 13 years currently, kindergarten plus 12 grades. You could drop that sucker to 10 years at the most. And if a kid waited until they were, say, 7 to start or 6 to start, you could start them at 6 a year later and have them leave a year earlier and still be better off, Kurt. It would save just millions of dollars, but the establishment won't hear of it, Kurt.
Well, that's exactly right. This is an NBC Bay Area report. Scott Crow down there kind of reported part of it. Had to look at several different news stories to kind of get the whole picture. Only one of them mentioned that he was homeschooled after he felt bored in his classes. That's according to the NBC Bay Area report. I guess he joined Mensa. Do you know what Mensa is, Sam?
No.
Mensa is some real, you know, organization for really smart people. And he was joined that when he was 4 years old. You know, he's now, they say, graduated with a college degree at 11 years old. His mother said he's always been ahead of the class. She said even in kindergarten he was pretty ahead, a few years ahead, and then it just went from there. On his college graduation cap, he wore his favorite Toy Story quote, to infinity and beyond. And they say, as for what comes next for the child prodigy, he said, I want to become a doctor, but I also want to become a medical researcher and also the president of the United States. So, anyway, there's Tanishq Abraham, I guess is his name. Yeah.
Now, Kurt, that's a little different, and we would support that, but that's a little different than Mattress Girl. I guess Columbia?
Yeah, this Sam. Apparently, I might have missed this story before, but the Daily Caller, you know, reported it. WorldNet Daily kind of passed it on. But apparently, there was this deal a while back where some, you know, I don't know, use the term loosely, maybe, Emma Sulkowitz, she's a Columbia graduate. We're not talking about Columbia, South America. There's a Columbia university in America. But anyway, she was a little ticked off because the school didn't handle her, her accusation of rape in a certain way. And so she became famous because she carried a mattress around campus for a year. Now, she said, I guess she did this to protest the school's handling of this case. Now, I find it, you got to be pretty tough to be carrying around a mattress for a year. But now she's gone, in my opinion, the wrong way. She's made a video of it trying to point out, you know, what happened in the event there, and where the individual, her partner, if you will, began to hit her in the head, etc. But the bottom line is, you know, it's just more of our kind of what we see in society, where we've got the military funding, you know, Viagra, and we've got women in the military, and then we've got all this, you know, all these other problems. We took God out of the government, schools, we take God out of society, and we've got a mess, huh, Sam?
Yes, and I don't know what to think about it, because again, when this girl pulls around this mattress on one hand, you want to be sensitive if something really evil did happen to her. At the same time, when she's that big of a grandstander on the subject, you know, hauling around a mattress and everything else, you almost have a hard time taking her seriously, Kurt, because it's just so extreme. What good is the mattress going to do? You know, all I can tell you is when it gets that extreme, it's hard to take people seriously, Kurt.
It's kind of nice she wasn't burning cop cars and buildings and stuff like that.
Yeah, just releasing pornography-style sex tapes, that's all.
You know, that was later, now, I guess.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, when she does that, though, around. So you got a chick carrying a mattress around that's involved in pornography, sex tapes, and you kind of say, I'm not saying that you don't care about her body or her right to be safe, or that I'm never supporting the actions of rape or anything else. I'm just saying at some point it's hard to give her credibility and believe her story and give it a serious concern, Kurt. It really is. not because she's not worthy of dignity. I believe she's a daughter of our Heavenly Father and she deserves respect. But when she behaves in that manner, it's pretty hard to take it seriously. All right, Sheriff Joe's the news, Kurt.
Well, that's right. Sheriff Joe, according to the WorldNet Daily Boys, he says that Democrats are using illegals for votes. Now, I'm thinking, I don't know if this is anything new, Sheriff Joe, but he said that, they're mostly interested in immigration reform because the newly legalized residents will eventually obtain voting rights and will vote for Democrats. He says that's common sense. I don't think that's something that nobody knows. You make them here illegally so they can vote, he says. I guess he was talking on Aaron Klein's investigative radio broadcast on New York's AM 970 and some other stations there. But he says there's a push afoot nationally to sign up more Hispanics to be able to vote, but you have to be careful now. But if you legalize these guys, these people, they're going to vote. Well, I think
he's right as rain.
What do you think, Sam?
I think he's right. I think I'm not so sure that 99% of the drug traffickers are illegal aliens, though, Kurt.
Well, apparently that's what he says. Later he says 99% of those arrested for bringing drugs into Maricopa County, Arizona, are illegal aliens.
All right, now that might be true because, you're right on the border there and all that stuff. But there's a lot of drug trafficking, I'm sure, once the... I don't know if you call them products, but once the drugs reach America and they get distributed by these criminal gangs and these cartels and such, there's a lot of people distributing drugs that are U.S. citizens and stuff like that. But if he's just talking about on the border there and what are brought in when it comes to bringing the products in or whatever, that may be true. And it just goes to show. All right, now what is this California story, Kurt?
Let's see. California.
It says California
story.
Browder. 1993, 2015.
Oh, the guy's name is Khalif Browder. It's a kid's name.
All right, Khalif Browder.
Khalif Browder, and it's how old he was. Now, he was born in 93, and he died in 2015.
That's
what's
11-year-old
here,
guy.
Sam? No, he's I think he's about 2015 to 93 would put him at 23.
So that's different than the 11-year-old guy.
15. I don't know what 11-year-old guy we're talking about for sure, but in this case...
This guy that graduated from California College, Kurt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
that guy was 11, just so you know.
Yeah.
All right, now what's this story?
This guy is a guy who was... he spent 3 years on what's called Rikers Island.
Who did?
They say without being convicted of a crime, this
Khalif
kid...
Khalif Browder.
Mm-hmm. This is in a country where we're supposed to have the right of a speedy trial. He'd been arrested in the spring of 2010 at age 16 for robbery he insisted he hadn't committed. Then he spent more than 1,000 days on the island waiting for a trial that never happened. Now he's ended his life, Sam.
Tragic.
Yeah.
Tragic to say the least, ladies and gentlemen. I guess so much for a speedy trial in his case, huh? All right, quick pause. Sam and Kurt, news the networks refuse to use.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child, or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. and it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season, like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
And this half hour is brought to you in part by thepowermall.com with incredible Power Mall sales specials for listeners to Liberty Roundtable Live. Call them up, tell them you want to do business with the good guys. They got a book called The 100-Year Lie, How to Protect Yourself from the Chemicals That Are Destroying Your Health, by Randolph Fitzgerald, normally $15, $12 now. Also, the Maker's Diet Revolution, the 10-Day Diet to lose weight, detoxify your body and mind. That's on sale for $12 also. The Coconut Oil Miracle. Use Nature's Elixir to lose weight, beautify your skin and your hair, reduce disease, prevent disease and all kinds of things. That book, it's normally $18, but it's $14.40. Gary Nolp products and books, 10% off. ThePowerMall.com. Check it out today, ThePowerMall.com. You got Mr. Oxygen Special. Buy two Oxy products, get one free. All right, all kinds of cool stuff. You got the Sun Air Purifiers, $100 off. You got Living Clay, 20% off. All right, ThePowerMall.com. Tell them Sam and Kurt sent you, would you please? So I guess this guy, he was put on an island, never had a speedy trial. And I guess it was a teenager when it all started is the kind of the confusion there. And then I guess what happened to him is he ended his life, Kurt.
Yeah, now the story from the NewYorker.com points out down deep in the story that, on his table there in his room, when this author or this investigator went in there, they found two empty bottles of his antipsychotic drug that sat on the table. And the author questions, he says, was it possible that taking the drug had caused him to commit suicide, or could he have stopped taking it and become suicidal as a result? You want to chime in on that, Sam?
Well, here's what we know. You know, you take a little kid, Kurt, and you put them on an island all by themselves. They're kind of, you know, and then you somehow have them meet with psychiatrists or psychologists.
Well, in a jail, you mean, right? Because that's what Rikers Island is. It's a jail.
But is he by himself, or are they putting a little kid, Kurt, in the population with everybody else?
Yeah, they put him in, you know, the prison. And he basically had
are you sure he's with the general population?
Well, he was, but now he's back home, and that's where he committed suicide.
All right. Well, anyway, all I'm telling you is you put him in there then, I guess, with this hostile population or all by himself, whether he got solitary confinement for part of it, I don't know. Nevertheless, either way, you put him with a hostile grown-up population that might abuse this kid or who knows what, and then you have him meet with psychiatrists and psychologists, and the guy's kind of melting down, and then you say he's psychotic, and then you put him on these drugs. And for doing what, Kurt? What did this guy do?
Well, they said he had robbed something, but, you know, that
he says
had
he
committed
didn't do
a robbery, but he said he didn't. And now you've got Rand Paul offering condolences to the family.
I concur
with
Rand, or Ron.
Yeah,
and all I'm Rand telling Paul. You in this case, though, is you take a kid like that, Kurt, and no wonder the kid. I don't know if it's the drugs. I don't know if it's the abuse. I don't know if it's the mixture of all of the above. But every time one of these crazy things happen, you find out the drugs are somehow in the mix. And every time these things happen, you find out that really, is it this kid that's psychotic or is it a psychotic system that put this kid in this kind of a situation for stealing something, Kurt, in the first place? I mean, at some point, we got the wrong pill for the ill, Kurt, going on. Maybe he needs a dad and a little bit of love and a little bit of away from the hood or wherever the guy. I don't know the circumstances. I'm just telling you, away from, what about a little bit of supervision? What about a little bit of kindness and love? What about a little bit of the Christian way and Christian teaching? And what? I'm just telling you, it's amazing that we even find ourselves in these discussions, Kurt. And I question the system way more than the circumstance of the kid.
Mm-hmm. Great point. You know, and now Rand Paul at least had this to say about it, WashingtonPost.com. You know, he basically just said, he said, hey, this is a mess, you know, like you just said. So when you see people, that you see some of this anger at people in the streets and you're like, why are they so unhappy? Think about Khalif Browder and think about how his friends must feel about American justice, how his parents must feel and about how his community feels. If we become the party that cares about the Sixth Amendment as much as we do the Second Amendment, we're going to dominate. You know, he's just talking about, I think the Sixth Amendment is the speedy trial one, if I remember right. I'll have to look it up. But the bottom line is, you know, he offered his condolences about the family, to the family after this suicide.
Oh, and you think about the little girl in a bikini tased for charity. I mean, everything I see, Kurt, is just whacked out. Story after story after story to say, oh, those are only isolated instances, yeah. Incidences, Sam. My response is, what?
Yeah.
Okay, I agree they're isolated incidences to some degree, but I also agree at some point you just go, man, I don't care if it's an isolated example. At some point, you start to say, man, we got a system that's broken. All right? Listener TZ chimes in, Kurt, about we were talking about the water problems in India and how they have these water wives. This was last hour discussion. They got these wives. You marry a chick so she can haul water for you. On one hand, it sounds crazy. I agree. But on the other hand, it's like, hey, these women are grateful to be able to do it. At least they have a roof over their head and some protection from the man that they're married to, etc. Now, polygamy is illegal in India, but hey, these water wives are common in many villages. Anyway, TZ chimes in and said, hey, if it were the United States, the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, and the EPA, the, quote, so-called Environmental Protection Agency, they wouldn't let anybody take the water, Kurt, anywhere. They wouldn't certainly let you pipe it elsewhere, even if you wanted to go ahead and get somebody that might pipe the water to them to help ease their lives. It wouldn't happen in America. There's just too much belligerent regulation. TZ's got a valid point, Kurt.
Great point, yeah.
Hey, Kurt, if you make $75,000 a year, they say it's not enough money to keep a third of the United States households from living paycheck to paycheck. That's what Reuters says. Jessica Rinaldi wrote the article several months ago. They say a third of higher-income Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, even though they make $75,000-plus a year. Do you want to know why, Kurt?
Sure.
Because they'd rather spend money on eating out and having experiences with their loved ones rather than saving money for retirement, says the new survey. They took a big old poll, and they say nearly a third of them end up living paycheck to paycheck because they don't save any money, Kurt. Dining out and entertainment says they're broke each month. Eating out was the biggest reason people say they're not saving enough. And they call it a lack of financial discipline, Kurt. And many people say, don't worry, I'll be able to live off my savings anyway. But people's spending habits oftentimes are emotional. And a lot of people say the 75 grand seems like a lot of cash. But when they really understand what their expenses are, people will find out they're not going to be as well off as they think they are. Are people just out there being belligerent, spending too much money? Yes. They say that you ought to get a better handle on where your money's going by creating a savings account and a budget or buckets of where your money is. And watch the spending out of each bucket. Allocate your money. Allocate your money in certain buckets and then watch. If you put, you know, $500 a month in your food bill, hey, if it's gone, you know, by the 10th of the month, you know that it's trouble. They also say, hey, set financial goals. People are better at saving if they set financial goals, such as for a vacation, for retirement, preparing for a baby, saving up for a vacation or whatever you want to do. They also recommend breaking up larger goals into smaller steps so that they're obtainable. Once you can achieve one goal, it actually gives you incentive to push for other goals. What do you think of that, Kurt?
Well, you know, at least when it comes to this whole thing, you know, as to how you get along with less money, you know, like you suggest sometimes to folks that they should, not focus on more money, but doing, I guess you could say, that less is more, you know, that kind of phrase. And it's interesting to me that how some folks can seem to make ends meet on less money. But they do things kind of special ways. They, you know, they do things like gardening and like couponing or whatever. Or they even, you know, take advantage of things like home-based businesses that allow for additional tax advantages. It does seem like sometimes, though, when you recommend those kind of things to people, they kind of, I guess you could say, don't really listen up. Right, Sam?
Yeah, there you go. You know, it just seems to me that Americans need to watch their money. But there's a big debate, Kurt, about what preparedness you do. Should you save money and prepare for a rainy day? Or should you be like the lilies of the field? God takes care of them. Will he take care of you? And the battle kind of rages on in the minds and hearts of Americans who simply say, I can't plan for the future because the future is so unknown. I'll explain in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Americans who are in trouble financially speaking. A third of America on the brink of financial disaster is one headline. The other one said $75,000. That's not even enough income to keep a third of U.S. households away from living paycheck to paycheck. And the reason why is they spend money on going out to eat. They spend money on entertainment and fun. And, you know, the battle is, Kurt, when the government creates a moral hazard to where you don't believe that anything that you save or do will have any value, then it's very hard to want to save money. If I put my money in a bank, Kurt, and I'm earning, what, 0.5% interest or something on the money, and I know that inflation's like 2-3 admitted by the government percent per year, but it's really more like 8-10% or something like that, I'm going to be stripped of my money via the hidden tax of inflation. So I'm losing money if it's in the bank. And so a lot of people are saying that, plus, you know, we hear news that the government's going to steal our 401ks. If I have money put in a 401k savings account at work, I can't get it out till I'm 59 and a half. And then there's all kinds of weird rules governing this and that. And I'm forced to pay Social Security a big chunk of my check. And, well, after that, Social Security's not even going to be around by the time I get there. And when the government creates this moral hazard of confusion and mistrust, at some point you can't blame people for not saving money. A lot of people also say, hey, God takes care of the lilies of the field and the birds. How adorned are one of these? And he'll take care of you too. And so it's very tough, but a lot of people can't make it over $75,000 a year, Kurt. And they say one third of America is on the brink of financial disaster as well. They say 90% of Americans are poorer today than they were back in 1987, Kurt. And so when you figure all that, you kind of say, man, it's very strange, Kurt. But is it that the people are just so selfish? Or is it really that they don't have any trust for the future? And so as a result, why plan for something you can't trust in, Kurt? Who wants to get a 401k worth $100,000 and work for 30 years or something? Or work for 10 years or whatever the number be, and then have the government just confiscate that sucker? Or who wants to put their money in a bank and have inflation strip you of all your wealth via the hidden tax of inflation? Or who wants to, I mean, the list goes on and on, Kurt. People are just saying, look, I'm going to enjoy it while it's good. While the getting's good, I'm going to just have a good time. When tough time comes, what good's my fake money going to do me anyway, Kurt? So I submit the government has created the moral hazard that no one brings up in either of these stories.
Well, that's a great point, Sam. And, you know, at least we certainly don't want to leave you with no solution, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we would, you know, in many ways echo what a guy like Dave Ramsey suggests you do. And that is, well, number one, you hey, be right with God. You, you know, do your contributions to your church. You know, live on less than you earn, of course. You don't go into debt for silly little things. There's just very few things, if any, you know, typically your house, that kind of thing. And so many other things you can do with the, well, the income that you earn. If you don't earn it, don't be spending it. You know, some basic things that can be followed. You know, the eating out thing that you brought up, the fact is, you know, you can do that occasionally, but, you know, you're very, well, you can literally eat very well by making things at home, and you can find that very enjoyable. Tremendous benefits from that, family time, home time. Good food can be had for very little when you do that. There's a number of good ways to get it done, right, Sam?
I think there are, and I think people need to plan a little bit. People need to have a little bit of a hope in the future, a little bit of hope in life, and I personally believe if you live your life according to God's plan for you, not your own plan for you, that's a great way to start having hope for the future. But, we don't need all that we've got is the problem, Kurt. And everybody wants to have, let's say you got three people in a family. You probably need four cars, don't you? Okay, that kind of stuff. Entertainment can be done for very inexpensive. Kurt, a lot of times we buy these different seasons of these different video series that we watch. And we can buy a whole season for like $16 on Amazon. Say it's got 13 episodes, for instance, for a given season. You know, it's a little over $1 an episode, but we got a family of like 9 people that all sit and watch it. What's that, 10 cents an episode per person, basically, Kurt, to watch these things? That a little bit of popcorn.
That's a great point. Yeah,
you're not spending a bunch of money on entertainment at my house, Kurt.
No, but do you feel like you don't get to enjoy the good things in life?
I feel like I get to circumvent the mainstream blabber of garbage, and I get to turn to what I want. I get a niche programming and niche entertainment that's family oriented. I believe it's a blessing on more than one front, Kurt. And so I avoid that like the plague. By the way,
and it's
have
back
you seen
to the
Cokeville
old phrase,
Miracles,
less
Kurt?
Is more, right?
Yeah.
No, I haven't, but I've heard about it. Did you? How was it?
Oh, buddy. First off, it's a great movie. Let me just say that. It's PG-13, mm-hmm. And the reason it's PG-13 is because there is a guy who goes crazy with guns and a bomb, and the very nature of the story probably is older viewers, but there's nothing in it really inappropriate except for... The movie at first is very disturbing, Kurt, and it's hard to explain without giving the movie away, but even for adults, when you get partway in that movie, you're going, man, I'm just not comfortable with this. However, it sets the stage for a true story. This is based on a true story that happened in Cokeville, Wyoming, back in 1986, and all I'm telling you is it's intense because they've got to get your arms around the evil, how much... The movie starts out and says, I don't understand how anybody could ever do something like this. And then the movie sets the stage and puts you in the middle of this thing, this real-life situation where this guy takes this school hostage with a bomb and guns, etc. Long story short, but once the movie turns and you really realize what happened, once you realize the blessings that occurred, and once you start to understand the miracles that took place in this town, this real situation town, when you start to understand that, you realize the focus of the movie is not dark and is not negative. It's intense. I'll be the first to tell you. It is overwhelming a little bit. It's rough. But yet, the only people that died, Kurt, were the perpetrators, and the rest of the people survived. And they tell you the whole miracles of the real story and about what really happened and about the testimony of a lot of the children. And a police officer was pretty hardened about life, and he was humbled over this. And the end... point of the movie is pray like you've never prayed before, folks. Pretty good message, if you ask me. Pretty good movie. Very good movie. Highly recommended.
Talk about the Cokeville Elementary School hostage crisis.
Yeah.
They say the guy was the only...
Oh, you're breaking up. We're losing you, Kurt. Anyway, very good movie for sure. Very, very good. Very good educational opportunity. And I'm just telling you, the Cokeville Miracles is the movie made about this. A guy by the name of T.C. Christensen was the director or producer. I'm not sure which. Anyway, any T.C. Christensen movie is good. We happen to know that gentleman. My family
I've
knows him
it's
personally.
Very faith,
it's a very good movie. We lost you there for a while, Kurt. Yeah. Sorry about that. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, okay. They say it's very faith-promoting.
I would agree with that. No question.
Movie.
Yeah, great movie, Kurt. I'm just telling you, though, it's disturbing at first. It's intense because it's based on a real story, and this guy is just, well, for example, the evil man in there said, you know, they're talking about his gun, and the kid's like, hey, why do you have these 45, or why do you have this? Why don't you have an AK, or I'm sorry, why don't you have an AR-15? And then the thug's like, oh, that'd be illegal. Can't have that, you know? So there's a little bit of comic relief to ease the intensity of it. But I'm telling you, it's just intense. But it is. It's very faith-promoting. It directs people to prayer and to God. I'm telling you, it's worth seeing. It's worth seeing. I'd even pay for your ticket to go. It's so good. I'm just telling you right now, it's worth every penny. I found it very faith-building. When I got done, I was just in shock about how intense it was. But I was also filled with gratitude, Kurt, about the God of heaven, and he does care. And it's important. The whole point of the movie is it's important for us to turn to God. And when we do, miracles can happen in our lives. That was kind of the message that I left the movie with, is, hey, bad things happen to good people. People can use their agency wrong, and when they do, it's horrible. But if you turn to God, and if you learn to forgive, and that's kind of part of the movie too, if you learn to forgive, turn to God, you really learn to pray to God, and then a lot of disaster and a lot of the problems we face can be reduced and or completely averted. And anyway, all I'm telling you is it's a very good movie, Kurt. Very good movie.
Yeah, the Wikipedia report says that 76 of the hostages suffered injuries, mostly flash burns, etc. Many children who claimed to have seen a beautiful lady who told them to go near the window. Other children reported seeing an angel over each child's head.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You don't want to give too many miracles away, Kurt.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah, it's tremendous. Like you're right, though. And they speak of angels. There's a very critical cop that doesn't really believe in God, doesn't believe in prayer, has to prove everything. He's kind of at the helm of the center of the story, Kurt. And he eventually finds so many miracles that are told by so many different people. I mean, there's no way on the green earth that they could have made up these stories, because there was a bunch of different angels helping. And these parents didn't really believe their kids exactly. I mean, they didn't think they were lying, but they just were like, you know, come on. They looked up in yearbooks or family photo albums, and each child to a person would identify a relative in their line via picture that they've never known before that was there. And all I'm telling you is Cokeville, America, great movie. Just telling you right now. I went and saw it this weekend, and it was, or last weekend, I should say. It was phenomenal. Took my wife with me, ate popcorn, left full of faith. It was fantastic. All right, thanks for being alongside with the ride. Liberty Roundtable live in the can. Available anytime on demand. The new media taking center stage at libertyroundtable.com. If you want to click to help us grow, we'd love it. Also available on demand on the Roku player. Look at the special interest section for the Liberty News Radio channel. Turn your phone into a radio, 712-432-5339. This nation shall endure.